Thank you, Janet. Well, hello. We heard a good bit from Teresa and Jennifer about how performance and quality improvement, some of the initiatives are out there, and the successes that we've actually seen and achieved as a community. Jennifer talked a bit about how do we continue to sustain this and grow the effort. And I'm going to talk a bit about really what is it that we're trying to build towards in terms of performance and quality improvement. What are the potential competencies there, and what are the efforts around developing competencies, and where are we all heading with this? First, a word from my sponsor, Public Health Foundation. For those of you who don't know us, our focus is on improving the performance or strengthening the quality and performance of public health practice wherever it may be. And we focus a good bit on performance management, quality improvement, and workforce development. Well, we're really talking about changing a mindset. And I think we've seen that a lot through with leadership with CDC, with NNPHI, with RWJ, to really move us from a mindset of focusing just on problems to identifying the solutions. And it really is a different mindset. It's looking at what's going on in the environment, what the capacity is that we have, what are our capabilities, and what are the solutions to improving organizations, improving performance, achieving greater quality, and better outcomes with our communities. So it really is a mindset, a mind shift here. Let's talk about some essential functions of any organization. Do any of your organizations not have an HR function? No, we think of HR is a cross-cutting function. It's not categorical. We know that a lot of health departments are categorically funded. That's just the way the funding streams have worked for many years, whether it's from CDC, whether it's from the states, wherever it may be. A lot of health departments are categorical. But HR tends to be cross-cutting. I mean, does anybody have a categorical HR function that's just in every single categorical area only? Probably not. Fiscal management. Our organizations tend to have somebody who's responsible for budgets, somebody who's responsible for managing the money across the organization, grants, things of that nature. But many of our organizations do not have a performance and quality improvement function that cuts across the organization. And in the private sector and in the healthcare sector, you see this. Now, it may not be a distinct office, although it often is, but there are people with this function. And what's that function all about? The function is to help all within the organization improve the quality and performance, to provide the skills and the competence, to do some of the training, to have some of the systems in place to do this. So I would argue that this is an essential function of any organization. And if we look at where we are in public health today, if you look at the Public Health Accreditation Board standards, I mean, one entire domain is on quality and performance. And if you ask individuals in FAB or those who've gone through accreditation, yeah, this is a domain, but we're really talking about quality and performance across all of the 12 domains within accreditation. That's what it's about. If you look at the National Public Health Improvement Initiative, we have great success. It's unfortunate that Congress didn't see it that way, and that the reason why it was supposed to be a five-year program, and it was ended early because Congress decided to move the money from here to here. We don't really know why to date. One can speculate, but it was an unfortunate decision because a lot of the states and the local health departments were part of it, the tribes and the territories really were doing phenomenal work, and they continue to do that to the credit of CDC and the national partners in the organizations who were funded through this. So NIFI has achieved positive outcomes. Then we have the Affordable Care Act, we have studies from the Institute of Medicine, we have the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services that are really pushing towards quality and value and outcomes and overall innovation in our system. There's greater accountability requirements on public health organizations. Healthy People 2020 speaks to performance and quality improvement as well. There are objectives around that. And overall, we're looking to create a culture of quality and health. Robert Wood Johnson Foundation has its major new initiative, the culture of health. So if you put all this together, I think it really argues for the need for our organizations to have people focused on performance and quality improvement, to have like an HR function, like a fiscal management function, that we need to have this performance and quality improvement function. So what do people look like who are in these types of positions? And what is it that we're looking to build ultimately in terms of skills and competence? We often like to talk about the framework of Plan, Do, Check, Act or Plan, Do, Study Act. And in general, this is a good framework for thinking about the competencies for the performance and quality improvement professionals. At the very beginning of the National Public Health Improvement Initiative program, there was an effort, and Liza, actually, I remember being involved in that effort, to develop a set of competencies for performance improvement managers. Now, at that point in time, there really weren't people in health departments with that type of a position. So we had to think about what are the types of competencies. And this, we wanted to come up with a limited list, and this was to help guide some of the activities that we were doing through the NIFI program, some of the workshops that we do, the training, the technical assistance, et cetera. And if you look at this list, you'll see that, you know, we're looking at organization system-wide strategies for improvement. You're looking at competencies on using evaluation to improve performance, cost-effectiveness, cost-benefit analysis, performance management, et cetera. So it's a list of, not a comprehensive list necessarily of all the competencies, but I thought it was a pretty good place to start. And we saw some relevance of this list over time. Well, how does this relate to the core competencies for public health professionals? Because we have the core competencies for public health professionals that are meant to apply to any public health professional. And these were adopted initially in 1991 by the Council on Linkages Between Academia and Public Health Practice. And they're meant to set up the general skills and competence for the workforce. Well, back only a year ago, in 2013, there was a revision process for the core competencies for public health professionals. And in that revision process, the question was asked, how has the field changed? And what are competencies that we need to add or modify within the core competencies for every public health professional? Well, interestingly enough, if you look at the 2014 version of the core competencies, and if you think about the list that was just up there for performance improvement managers, the evolution of our field now is a greater recognition that all public health professionals need that performance and quality improvement level of skills and competence. Many of these are very similar, if not identical, to the performance improvement manager competencies. So as we continue to think about people who are in performance and quality improvement positions within organizations and have responsibilities, what else do they need in addition to the core here? That's going to be the key question for us. And as we think about it, we need to define, again, what it is that people need beyond the core set of competencies. Maybe we'll determine that the core is sufficient. I suspect not. I suspect we'll want to dig a little bit deeper, a little bit further. Then we need to have strategies to build those skills and competence. And Jennifer talked about the efforts of partners, talked about the society, network, association, whatever it might be called, as a way to help build the skills and competence. Then we want to achieve a high level of skills and competence. And, of course, with performance and quality improvement competencies, you have to always look at how to improve them. Continuous improvement. And that is also, I think, a basic premise of the Public Health Accreditation Board, is how you can always continuously improve the standards for an organization. So, of course, we want to look at how you can continuously improve the competencies and skills for individuals. Well, where are we going with all of this? We have a little effort that's going to start up pretty soon where we're going to be taking the performance improvement manager competencies, looking at those, looking at the core competencies for public health professionals, and see if we can begin to define some additional competencies for performance and quality improvement managers. When I say we, it'll be an effort of Public Health Foundation with CDC and our national partners to see how far we can take this and can we define it. Why do this? Well, as, you know, Jennifer talked about, again, the society. She talked about training and technical assistance. And at the end of the day, if you want to provide training and technical assistance and support, you need to know what it is you want to be building towards and the skills and competencies of the individuals you want to help to build. Last slide for me is if you're looking for other information, training or quality improvement information or others, please visit our website. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rob.